This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Literally, if you go on the post right now, you'll see like so many people saying, oh, it sounds good, but I keep hearing the claps. Like of the little baby part.
Hey.
Literally.
Freaky. All right, yes, yes, we're back again with another installment of ITV. Today we have Sheck Dash, all lowercase, in case you forgot. Dope, so Sheck Dash, Sheck it through Dash.
How's it going?
What's up? Introduce yourself, let the people know what you're about, why you're here.
How's it going? My name is Sheck Dash, and I am a DJ and music producer based in Queens, New York.
Queens, New York. What's the nickname for Queens? Don't they call it Brick City?
I'm a transplant.
Okay. Bad question. I don't even know the answer, so I'm not sure why I was asking you that. Okay, so let's start it off smooth. We're gonna start it off with our segment, Set the Flow. Dope. All right, so this actually initiated, it's not the word I wanted, originated from you.
Me?
Yes, Pull Time with Sheck. This segment of the show, set the flow, actually came because Sheck here likes to ask a lot of interesting questions on his story.
On IG. On Instagram stories. Poll times.
Poll time with Sheck. So we're going to ask some questions. It's really like I'm going to give you two options and you're going to choose one. So let's get it going. Telepathy or telekinesis?
Ooh. Telekinesis.
Okay.
I don't want to tell what people are thinking.
Yeah. Telekinesis, yeah, I like
too.
It's going
to hurt my feelings.
Because I feel like if people get out of line, I could just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So remember the first 3 years of life or get a 3-hour point of view recording of any point in the future?
Wow. That's a good one.
No?
I think I would want to remember the first 3 years of my life. I think that was a very pivotal time for my mom, and it would help me connect with her more.
You went the deep route.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. Have no limbs for 48 hours or no sight for 96?
Ooh. No, because I need to see. That's the thing. But no limbs, it's like I would need to be cared for like that entire time.
Yeah, and as a man, you know you're not allowed to have people care for you.
Exactly. Like, I got a cave, man. I gotta pick no limbs. I gotta see.
Okay.
I gotta see things.
Okay.
Like, actually.
Conversation with God or conversation with Lucifer?
Conversation with God would probably be the better option, but a conversation with Lucifer would
And I'm not saying you got to go to where they live, so I'm not sending you to hell.
Okay.
I'm just saying
he could come to my apartment.
They come to Queens.
He could come to Queens?
Yeah.
That would be really interesting. I feel like it would be a lot more of a fun conversation, but... For God's sake, I'm gonna have to choose a conversation.
That's nasty. For God's sake, I see the joke.
For God's sake and my sake.
Okay. So last one: breathe underwater or be invisible. And this is like forever.
Forever.
Once you choose this, you have this ability.
I don't even know how to swim, so invisibility all the way.
Same.
Yeah.
I feel the same.
Yeah. You know the stereotype.
Exactly. Actually, I don't. What are you referring?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Your words, not mine. Cool. So now that we're through Set the Flow, we can kind of get right into it. So you said you are a DJ.
Yes.
You're a producer.
Yes.
And I heard, I don't know if you said it, but I'm going to tell them, you are a rapper. You rapped.
No, a long time ago, but okay. Not now.
What was the name of the project?
My first project ever was something called Sheck the Mixtape. It was like when I just, it was like my sophomore year of college. I had a really crappy iPhone and I just decided to make a track. And then I posted it on Twitter and like the community, like my friends really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed it. So I decided to go a little harder, like record songs. I would like go into my mom's car and use that as a booth. And yeah, check the mixtape. It's deleted now, so you can't find it anywhere on the internet because it was terrible.
So I have a question. Like, when you went harder, was that because you were a target?
Yes. 100%.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So rapper, DJ, producer, got you. So you have your hands in a lot of different things. So I think that kind of rolls into what I have to ask you first.
Okay.
So obviously now you produce and you're a rap. I don't know why I want you to be a rapper. You're a DJ.
I can be.
Right? You're a DJ.
Yeah.
And like, when did you kind of creatively fall in love? Because you came, obviously music has always been there, but yeah. It seems now that you've kind of find your niche, your space to kind of operate and exist. But like, when did you realize that, you know, creatively, this may be where you want to kind of make your bread and butter?
Good question, by the way. Interestingly enough, this is like my return to making a creative career for myself with music. Shortly after that time that I was joking about earlier, I actually really wanted to take music seriously. And I built a home studio for myself, like out of scratch, like at my house in Willingboro. And I ripped out the carpet, put in like wood floors. Me and my friends like busted down the walls, put up completely new walls. I got a new computer. I got an interface. I got the software. And I decided to dive into music like to the fullest. And I knew I was in love with it because of how depressed I was when I realized I had to stop, at least during that time.
And why did you have to stop?
At the time, it conflicted with Islam, which is what I was practicing heavily at the time. And there's no black and white when it comes to music in Islam, but of course, there's like, you know, the concept of secular music. And it was hard to kind of be devout in my faith and also dive my head into something that could compromise how deep I'm able to go with my religion. And it was really tough for me because I had something that I really, really liked, that I loved. And I just didn't really know if I was allowed to do it or not. It was, I felt guilty eventually. It didn't feel good anymore. And then thankfully after that, I was able to find a new creative outlet, which was my clothing brand at the time, Astro. If you know, you know. And I think that kind of reignited a flame for me. I would sell like dad hats and fanny packs.
Yeah, that's actually kind of how we met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Astro. It is actually.
Yep, that's how we met.
I had these fanny packs and they were like
3M.
3M. You very take a tough picture and they would like glow.
And that was before, like, I think that was like, I want to say just at the beginning of like that 3M movement where everything was reflective.
Exactly, yeah.
But those were the first times like I had saw 3M.
Yeah.
So that this is tough. And it gave kind of like a futuristic aesthetic, which makes sense. Astro, space, ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
It was tough.
Yeah.
So that ooh wasn't hate. It was like, I was really like, I was surprised what I was looking
it's
at.
It's on brand.
And then everywhere I saw, everyone was wearing 3M. But that, those fanny packs, I still have them and it's like, it's good quality.
Thank you.
You know, shout out to Astro.
That endeavor was what taught me about community. The joy that I was able to bring people from giving them clothing, it was unmatched. Like people really liked the thing that I made and they would wear it proudly. And even though I'm not doing clothing now, I get that same feeling whenever I make a new remix or I'm DJing somebody's favorite song. I feel like I'm really connecting with people, and Astro was sort of that launch pad into me being a sort of people's person when it comes to the creative scene.
Yeah, and I think with your mixes, because I think there was a point, I want to say, I don't know if it was the summer, but it was earlier last year. I feel like you were dropping like every week. Some weeks you even had two mixes.
Yeah, yeah, damn near.
So
yeah.
It was just like being, you speak to being like, I guess, an artist of the people. You had mixes for everybody. Like there was Drake song mixes. You had a Sexy Red mix.
Exactly.
You have mixes that empower women, but then you also have mixes for niggas.
Yeah.
So
precisely.
I think, I mean, it definitely in your work, you can kind of see how the, to kind of make content for the people, it's kind of evident.
Yeah. Like at the end of the day, it was stuff that I wanted to hear.
Exactly.
But it did connect with people, you know, making them, you know, want to dance, even making them laugh sometimes. Yeah.
Do you prioritize connecting with people over making music for yourself?
No, I think that there has to be a good level of both. I always start with myself.
Okay.
I think that that's how I keep things authentic.
Yeah.
I think when you consider yourself first, you allow yourself to get that delayed gratification because you'll find people that like what you like. You know what I'm saying? Usually. It takes time going against the grain and really doing what you want to do. But with enough patience and enough effort, you're going to find people that speak the same exact language as you. And even though that's a little bit more like it takes longer to achieve that,
yeah,
get an audience that really, really is within your specific niche or way of thinking, it's way more rewarding in the long run.
Yeah.
100%.
Because, I mean, if you do it any other way, you kind of lose the essence of who you are as a person and as an artist.
Yeah. It's going to become very difficult to push the agenda if you think of the audience way more than you think of yourself.
Yeah.
You sort of become a slave to your audience.
So kind of pushing, using that to push the conversation forward, how, as it pertains to like the field you're currently in, right? How do you balance art, emotion, and in your position, faith? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you balance all of these things in your realized profession? Like,
I think personally, emotion is the driving force, or should be the driving force for any project. I think that when you consider the way you feel, like for example, when I release a project, it's because I have a really good feeling about it.
Mm.
Sometimes I'll start one just to pass the time and then get a new idea that I get really, really excited about, yeah, really, really anxious about. And I prioritize that instead. And because of that, I think I'm very satisfied with my like work that, yeah, I put out. Because short pause.
No, you're good.
I'm trying to figure out the words to say what I'm trying to say. Like the emotions that I feel,
mm-hmm,
when I create something that I like is the same emotions that, of course, I would want you to feel. And furthermore, I want you to be able to take what I feel and expound upon that. Feel different emotions if necessary, and maybe even come back to me with something that I wasn't thinking about. For example, I did a remix to Lady by D'Angelo. And in the beginning, I was going through something really tough. So I kind of, without realizing it, created a story about like heartbreak in that remix. And from time to time, I get a lot of people that come to me and tell me things that they peeped or picked out. Or, oh, I realized that you used this sample or used this part of the remix, like, does it mean this? And to me at the time, it didn't. But then they created a new emotion for me to feel when they realized it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that emotion being the driving force of any project is going to lead you to success, and it's going to lead you to really liking what you do. 100%.
So just to kind of go back, when you found that your faith was kind of like an impediment to your creative process.
Mm.
How did, because it kind of sounded like and I could be wrong, but it kind of sounded like there was some, you were lost a little bit.
Yeah.
Did it take you long for you to find your way? And when you found your way, did you lose anything from the previous path you were on, making that transition from making music, like before you felt like, you know, kind of held back? Mm. And then now you found a way to, okay, now I may feel more free. I found something that allows me to kind of tap into this. Like, can you speak to that journey, like before and after?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very, very, very long journey.
Okay.
I think that I was able to find myself very recently, because a large part of me being creatively free, for me personally, Islam is a very beautiful religion, but it, for me to kind of like tap into myself, I kind of had to let it go. Mm. I think that I wasn't really able to do half and half. And when I decided that it wasn't for me, I think I was able to allow myself to do things that I didn't prior. Tap in with myself spiritually in a different way, in ways that I didn't necessarily know of or understand before. And again, this is just like a personal thing. I don't think it would be like that for anybody else. Definitely not like some sort of secret message to like let that go. But, you know, there was a time I lived in West New York and I was in a basement and I had a lot of solitude. I had a lot of time to think about the things that caused me anxiety. And I think my relationship with constraint, when it comes to anything like spirituality, when it came to like just being nervous about people seeing me try, like during that period of time, I was finally able to let go and be authentic to myself in ways that I couldn't before. Mm-hmm. And me moving to New York, it was kind of me spreading my wings and me being surrounded by people that are in similar journey or a different journey. But like, I know that I had to like shed my skin before I was able to really do what I want in full power.
And even like shedding that skin, whether it be faith or a job or a living space.
Yeah, work
space,
too, because like, work, yeah.
There's a lot of things that people need to kind of let go of to move in a different place in their life. Yours just happened to be your belief system. So I think a lot of people can probably connect to having to let go of something that kind of created the infrastructure into the way they interact with life.
100%. And even security too.
Yeah.
Like I had to let go of like stability at some points.
Yeah.
Because I felt like me personally, the only way for me to really dive into the things I wanted to was for me to have the time to do so.
Absolutely.
It was hard for me to balance, you know, working a lot and doing the things I do. So at sometimes I just kind of had to like grind like one meal a day to save money so that I can survive, because I know that at that point, like working 9 to 5, I wouldn't have been able to tap into producing and DJing as much as I do now.
Yeah, no, because I remember, I mean, we spoke to you being like the inspiration for the Set the Flow, but when you're doing Pole Time with Sheck, I feel like the person who was doing that and the person I know now are not even the same people.
Yeah, definitely.
And
not.
To the 9 to 5, like there's nothing wrong with having a 9 to 5.
Not at all. Not at all.
Or working any type of corporate or institutional job, but
correct.
There is a freedom that goes in being, I guess, an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. but there's also a con with that as well.
Yeah.
And it's you kind of, depending on who you are as a person, you have to pick what your journey is and which makes more sense.
Precisely.
For you.
You have to pick your poison. Like there's definitely people that make it work all the time.
Yeah.
Like they have their corporate gig and they do their creative stuff and it meshes perfectly. There's some people that struggle with that.
Yeah.
I just happen to be a person that really, really hated working. You know what I'm saying? I think that the Pole Times was when I was working at T-Mobile. I would, you know, do it on the job, like just engage with people, just ask different polls on my stories because I was like trying to escape work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how do you know when it's time to shift creatively to like your next venture? Like you rapped and you had a clothing line or have a clothing line and DJ and producing, like, how did you know that it was time to shift to the next part of your creative journey?
I think it's you probably when you can't stop thinking about it. I think the most recent example I have of that is me moving to New York. I came to New York originally for the brand, for the clothing brand that I had changed from Astro to Sheck.
Oh, wow.
I changed it and I wanted to get into that and also visual art, like painting. But for some reason, I just couldn't stop mixing tracks. I just couldn't stop making mashups. Like, I would do that every single day organically. And then, funny enough, do you remember when you came to the rooftop?
Yeah.
You and Quinn, that day that you guys talked to me and, you know, pretty much said that I should probably try taking DJing seriously.
Okay, yeah, this is like early on the rooftop.
Yeah. That was like the turning point when I was just like, yeah, nah, I think they're right.
Had you made the Lil Baby Afrobeats mix yet?
Yeah, I did that years ago.
Oh,
that
so was it just like, got viral again then?
Yeah, I made that when I was living in Camden.
Wow.
That was like during the pandemic.
So you really were just playing around at that point. Now
it was a joke.
Full circle, yeah.
Yeah, it was literally a joke. Like, it was not even supposed to get to where it did.
Yeah, now, yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's one of those things.
Yeah, one of those things. And I think I was kind of annoyed that it went viral, because it was like this trash like mashup that I made and screen recorded it off the DJ app. And but now I'm kind of thankful that I did that, because it kind of allowed me, it gave me somewhat of a platform to like make actual music and not feel ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also putting my personality into my music, because again, that was a joke. And now I still make remixes where certain parts of it could be perceived as funny and invoke that emotion in people we were talking about earlier, like laughter, and I can still be taken seriously.
When so much of what you do is predicated on like external consumption and kind of external validation.
Yep.
How do you find that within? Like, you could feel like I had a great set. The transitions were transitioning. I love the music selection.
Yeah.
And then the crowd leaves and you're like, yeah, that guy stunk. Like, how do you find that internal validation versus when what you do is so much like graded by others?
Honestly, it's not being afraid to fail. Mm. Not being afraid to look stupid sometimes. I feel like a lot of people, not just in my industry, a lot of creatives in general take themselves too seriously. I think the more times that you mess up, the more times that you fall flat on your face, the stronger you become and the more confident you become in your work. And there was a time where I was very afraid to DJ, because it's like, damn, what if I mess up? But the question isn't, what if I mess up? The question is, how do I come back from when I mess up?
Yeah.
Because you absolutely will make mistakes live in front of people. And usually it's not about preventing that, but more so about picking yourself back up from when those things happen. Because a lot of the times you don't even notice.
Yeah, most of the times if I'm at a party, unless like, and I think it's because I have a lot of friends who DJ, like, if I never knew some of these people, I would just think it's a sound error. I wouldn't even know that
exactly. They
transition was whatever. Like, it's not something that most people are even aware of. And times they think people are messing up, they're not. So
exactly.
It's most of the time just like it's an internal thing that you know this is not supposed to sound like that. But me as a party goer, I mean, the girls are still dancing.
Exactly.
I don't care what you're doing.
You're your toughest critic. And even with producing, like, the biggest, like, the project with the most listens is that mashup I made.
Yeah.
And you
don't even like it.
It sounded terrible. Like, literally, if you go on the post right now, you'll see like so many people saying, oh, it sounds good, but I keep hearing the claps. Like, of the Lil Baby part.
Hey.
Literally.
Freaky.
You keep hearing the claps because it's like it was a shitty mashup. And for some, it was still listenable to people. So it's like, you know, you can nitpick everything you do, but when you're at the beginning of something, there's no point in doing that, because you got to put out that trash sometimes, yeah. and then you like improve with time and you let people critique you. You take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Obviously, like nobody is God. No, even people that are like better than you in your field have a totally different perspective than you.
Yeah.
So it's important to take these things with grace and then move gracefully. Absolutely. So that you can continue to be yourself and not appease your craft and what you do to what other people think should be the standard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Who is Sheck Dash? I want you to speak more to like who you are as like a creative. Because obviously like no one gets into the business to not make money.
That is true.
And you're at a point in your craft where your talents demand payment and recognition.
But 100%.
I think when I ask who is Sheck Dash, like it's what do you represent creatively, mentally, like who is that guy? Because they know Sheck Dash online and on TikTok and these followers and all these interactions, but like who is Sheck Dash the artist?
Mm-hmm. I'm a person, and I this word keeps on coming up throughout this interview, emotion. I'm a producer and a DJ that wants to invoke emotion.
Okay.
With my audience and find people that speak the same language I do. I want to create freely, and I want to do my process as long as it takes until I find the people that want to associate with what I do. And in that case right now, it's DJing and music production. I think that I am a person that wants to take sounds and blend familiar sounds and blend obscure sounds and combine them.
Yeah.
And I want to blur the lines between familiarity and discovery when it comes to music.
I like that, familiarity and discovery.
That was a mouthful.
Nah, I mean, that's...
yeah.
I think that's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
In a way of, yeah. Sheck Dash, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming through, man. That's another episode of ITV. And we will catch you on the next one. Peace.